The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your
settles
soul.
In your soul.
It does settle in your soul. You want to turn my mic up a little bit?
Your mic or your earphones?
My earphones and, yeah, because I'm, can you turn Wynn up a little bit?
Can you hear me now?
That's
can much
you
hear
better.
Me now? Hear me now? Okay.
Much better.
We're good.
Okay. Anyway, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Wynn Carpenter, Terry Raposa.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Maybe. KCNR Studios, downtown Rennie, broadcasting live. This is Jefferson State of Mind. And we are broadcasting 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Mm-hmm. You also can listen live on KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever and ever. You can go to the programming, go to archive, and kaboom, we are there for over the last 10 years. Anyway, we're both waking up a little bit here. There was a fundraiser last night for Preston Sharp.
Oh, that was awesome. It was so much fun.
That was a great.
Full house.
Yes,
sold,
very cool
they
house.
Sold out.
Yes.
Sold out. That's awesome. At this time of year to sell out.
in December.
In December, to be selling out for an event like that. And it was a fundraiser auction and dinner. And it was really good. A bunch of Patriots in the room supporting a young man doing what he's been doing for several years now. Going out to all the cemeteries that he can reach, in all 50 states. And he puts flowers and flags on those veterans' forgotten headstones.
Yeah, it's just a great thing that he does. He needs your support. If you can send him a check, and you can send that to, I believe it's Preston Sharp.
Nope.
It's not.
Nope.
I've got a card here, but it's not.
Veterans, flags, and flowers.
Oh.
Veterans, flags, and flowers. Make it out to that, and you can send it to Preston Sharp. What's the address on there?
Good. Thank you, buddy. Okay, so it's Veterans, Flags, and Flowers. Okay, and it's P.O. Box 493-792, 493-792, and that's Redding, California, 96049. So it's P.O. Box 493-792. Redding, California, 96049, and that is made out to Veterans, Flags, and Flowers. Great young man, absolutely wonderful. We are going to have him on, by the way, next Sunday. He'll be our guest live in here with his mom, April, wonderful lady. And they will be in here talking about what Preston does and about America and a point of view on what youth looks at, our kids that are in high school, and what they're looking at as far as their country. And Preston's certainly been a big influence on his classmates and people around him. So,
and also, don't forget, he got to sit at the State of the Union address from Donald Trump. Remember the night that Rush Limbaugh was presented his Life Achievement Award and whatnot? And Preston was sitting right next to the First Lady.
Yeah, that probably had to be the happiest moment of his young life.
Yes. He and his mom got to be there and experience all that went with that, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I think they've been back there like five times or something. We'll get all that stuff. And what we're going to do, we'll have that program on, of course, live next Sunday, and then it will be archived, and I believe we're going to play that again on January the 1st. So we'll play next week's show on January the 1st.
Yeah, because of Sunday's the 1st and December 25th, Christmas, and New Year's. We will not be having a live show, but we will be playing some recorded ones so that everybody can get caught up.
Yep. So anyway, it's been an interesting day, and the show this morning had some good points made to it. I thought that Julie Winters is certainly telling as far as what she thought of our new mayor here in Reading, Mike DeQuisto, and she went on to a diatribe of why she didn't want him and how she didn't trust him and all that stuff, which I think is just, I mean, that's sort of, that's an extremely bad taste after somebody's already been put into the mayor's office, how she runs them down right off the get-go. I mean, when you talk about bad taste, poor taste, Julie Winters should have her picture in the paper, or a picture somewhere. And I thought that was really something. Also, we did a little research on the voting in the state of California for Brian Daly, and it shows, at least the statistics we can get, shows that out of the 58 counties, 29 voted for Newsom and 29 voted for Daly. And Newsom, of course, won because more people in the different counties that voted for Newsom then voted for Daly. Also, another thing that that was talked about in the previous program that I thought, you know, is something we all want, and that's let's get rid of Biden, you know. How do we get rid of Biden in impeachment? Well, The hard part we have is who we have in the Senate, because the Senate has the final word on impeachment. So the problem with that is that if you have somebody like Mitch McConnell, and we now have the 50-50 Senate, and we have Kamala Harris as the tiebreaker, and like I said, Mitch McConnell, I don't know if he'd vote for impeachment or not. You know, there's so many.
It might disrupt his checking account.
Yeah.
Well, that's how he's made his millions and millions and millions of dollars, is having his hands out while he's been back there serving the public, right? Isn't that how they all do it? He's not going to upset the apple cart.
He's getting reelected. I mean, the insanity of this.
Can you say elections are rigged?
Well,
even in
I don't know.
Even in old Kentucky. Yeah,
maybe. I don't know. I mean, well, then it's up to the people of Kentucky to get their heads screwed on straight.
It is.
You know, I mean, we always go back to that.
Yep.
We always go back to the position of local and then state.
Local. Got to take care of it yourselves, boys and girls.
Absolutely. And it's a continual battle, you know, to make people understand. I mean, we hear, you know, on a lot of talk radio, we hear about what's going on in the federal government. I mean, even things like, okay, well, you know, Biden's doing this and he's doing that. Okay, well, and that's true. And it's good that we're being told about this stuff and we're being told the truth. And it's good that these things are coming out to the public. The challenge is, what do we do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been a situation where we look at this and what is the solution? And a couple of years ago, a bunch of mama bears and papa bears got together, and they really decided in grassroots that the solution was to take care of the local government first.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a very interesting video that was on Facebook, and it was a lady dressed as a cat. A lot of people have probably seen that, and I know this. I may be late to the party on this one, but it was amazing. She was dressed as a cat in a cat outfit, standing in front of the school board saying, you know, how is it that we can have this person over here who basically was dressed up as a woman and engaged in wanting to teach, you know, and dressed as a woman saying that he is a woman, but he's a man. And she said, well, if you believe I'm a cat, I'm not really a cat, I'm a woman. And so as far as being dressed as a cat, I mean, everything in my DNA shows that I'm a woman. Everything about me shows that I'm a woman. It doesn't matter how I dress. You know, you can't take this woke business and have it be taught to our children. And not only is that irresponsible, because what you're doing is bringing in a social position into the educational process, which is entirely wrong. And I thought that was such a great point that she brought up, because we have so much of that, so much social abnormality. Very well put, my friend.
Good grief.
Yeah, and also all this stuff that just isn't true, how does that work into their education? I mean,
it confuses the hell out of them.
It does. And we learned, because of the mama bears and the papa bears, that the school boards have the power.
Amen.
And I love what's going on here. I love what's going on in Shasta County. Seven new school board members, and they hadn't even run before.
Right.
And Arthur Gorman. Who is
the leading vote getter by a big way.
Yeah, like 29%. He was like several thousand votes ahead of the guy who was the incumbent.
Yep.
I mean, that's a lot for a school district.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, you have that, and then you have, you know, other people winning. I mean, you know, Lindsey Haynes won. Mm-hmm.
Cheryl Clifford won.
Cheryl Clifford won,
yep.
Who has been in this community as a staunch conservative for years and years and years.
And Jackie LaBarbera.
Jackie LaBarbera won. Yep. I mean, wow, you know, you look at this and you're just going, what a bunch of great people have now entered into our school system to say, not only no, but hell no.
Right.
You're not going to teach our kids this. Our kids are, you know, our kids are boys and girls, and they need to be taught education on the learning of things, not social structure.
Right, right.
And so we learned that. We learned that the Board of Supervisors has the holds all the purse strings for just about everything. The boards of supervisors in the 58 counties in the state of California have so much power, even though they have lied to you. Yes, they have lied to
and
you.
And they're ignorant about what they can do with it.
Not anymore.
Not ours.
They got educated.
And they're all going to be learning some stuff as things progress.
You know, and that's the thing that really holds you know, holds true. And as we go into this new year, and we go into as we go, and we see these new people that have been elected. I mean, like Chris Kellstrom, you know, Kevin Cry. You know, we've got people that are in there. Bob Holsinger should have been, and that goes on to a whole other story. Rich Gallardo did a marvelous video on 15, I think it was 15, 15 different counts of where Kathy Darling Allen, who is the Shasta County Clerk, violated the law, and it's a very good video.
Only 15.
Uh-huh, and I recommend that. You know, I recommend that you watch that video. It's very good that he and Lori Bridgeford did. You know, I mean, those kinds of people that are standing up and really doing something, and the turnout for Preston Sharp, now think about this, folks, is December the 10th. If you say that we're not in a recession, then I don't know what I don't know what planet you live on. People show up in droves. I mean, people showed up. That place was full to support this young man who supports our veterans.
Yep.
And I think that our veterans are the most, I think they should be the most honored citizens that we have. I really believe that in my heart, that the veterans are the people.
I agree 100%.
That should be, I don't care. I mean, not that the teachers don't do a great job, not that some people who are elected don't do a great job, not that certain categories of people, the veterans should be honored more than anybody and protected.
They put their name on a piece of paper stating that they're putting their life on the line to defend our country, our homeland, and all of us. They individually and collectively have done that.
When we first interviewed Preston Sharp, he came up to a little bit above my waist. Now, last night I was standing next to him, and I'm looking at, you know, at his neck.
he's grown.
He has grown. And, you know, when you look at a young man like that who goes to every state and puts flags on graves of veterans, I mean, what an honor. And off of that stems other things. Off of that, people say, hey, we want to help the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Off of something like that, people say, hey, we really need to feed the veterans. Off of that, people say, hey, we all need to honor the veterans. And again, to me, that is the most important class of people, for lack of a better term, that we have. Those guys are the heroes. Those guys who are the ones who put it all out on the line. And, you know,
it was cool, too, last night when I don't remember which one did it, whether it was Chris or Patrick, but they asked the veterans to stand so we could recognize them. It was amazing, you know, to see the number that we had there, a number of veterans, you know, men and women stood up, and, you know, the age differences, too, because we had a very senior veteran there and we had some younger ones there. It was pretty cool to see that.
Yeah, that was amazing. You're right, my brother. You know, and Dick Wilkinson got an honor.
He did.
Yeah, rightly deserved.
Yep, yep.
And what a wonderful man he is. I mean, you know, Dick Wilkinson, what he does with the kettle every night, you can drive by that. The address is...
For his home?
Yes.
I don't have that off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
Maybe somebody can...
Yeah. It's the Big Red Barn.
Yeah, the Big Red Barn on Pioneer.
Pioneer?
Is it Pioneer?
No, it's something else. Old Barn isn't.
It is.
No, it's not Old Barn.
I know,
you take Old Barn to get there, but I can't remember.
See, that's what happens when two guys have lived in Reading just about all their lives.
We just know how to get there.
We just know how to get there. What street name?
I mean, you know, street has a name?
Turn right at the barn.
But Dick's been doing this for a long time, but he did take last night off due to the weather.
He did.
And then that way he and his beautiful bride, Fran, could be at the event, and it was great to have them there as well.
Yeah, and also they you can drive by there every night. Barrel Court.
Barrel Court. There you go, Barrel Court.
Oh, my memory just came back
yes,
to me.
Yes, yes.
And
you're not as faded as you thought
you were. I'm not. But Barrel Court, as soon as the sun goes down, you can go over there, or maybe even a little before, and drive by there and give money if you can to the Salvation Army. Dick, I believe, has earned or gotten donations for almost, 265,000 dollars or something.
Some great amount,
astronomical amount,
which is awesome.
And one of the things that we do on this show is we have a lot of guests on. We've had, last show they talked about Brian Daly a little bit, and they talked a little bit about Doug LaMalfa. We love having guests on. We had LaMalfa on, we had Daly on, we had
Mark Moiser.
Mark Moiser on. We even had, I forgot his name already, the Democrat who ran against the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what was that guy's name? Oh, Max Steiner.
Steiner, we had him on.
Yeah, we had him on. So we like to have people on so they can express express what they want to do when they get into office. But right now we have a really special guest that we have on a lot. And the reason we do is because the man does a lot. He does a lot for his country. He does a lot for his community. He does a lot for his county.
And he's a veteran,
He's a veteran.
And big time veteran.
And he has a Second Amendment court case that is moving right along. And Mark Baird is in here right now to talk about that. Mark, how are you today?
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too, brother.
Well, I am... We just got an order from the judge, as probably a lot of you know, some may not. We had a recent court hearing in Sacramento for the motion to approve or deny the preliminary injunction against the state of California, who has banned the Second Amendment legislatively through two penal codes that ban the open carry of loaded weapons in California. And as you may or may not know, concealed carry is not a right. That was decided by the Ninth Circuit Court in bank, and the Supreme Court refused to hear it at the Supreme Court level, whereby the Ninth Circuit Court declared that concealed carry is not a right. It's a permission. States can do whatever they want with it. They can charge you money. They can deny it. And it just came out that in San Diego County, another sheriff was soliciting bribes in order to get issued concealed carry permits. So, and bribes to his reelection campaign. And it was funny because a group that studies that kind of stuff came up with the statistics, and something like 62% of the time a campaign contributor applied for a CCW, he got it, and only 18% of the time an ordinary citizen applied for a concealed carry permit, they were issued one. The sheriff in Santa Clara County was just indicted for the same thing. We don't know what her punishment. She tried to retire to get out of the punishment. I don't know if that's going to work for her or not. The sheriff in Los Angeles County, Lee Baca, was indicted for soliciting campaign contributions from rich Hollywood elites in order to issue one of the 32 concealed carry permits that Los Angeles County had outstanding at the time. Can you imagine that? 32 successful applicants out of 7 million people.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there are jurisdictions like Contra Costa County where people just don't apply because you won't get one. So anyway, concealed carry is not a right, and that's pretty well established. But we sued the state of California because we have a right. The Constitution says so in Amendment 2, and that right shall not be infringed. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's in plain English. It's in black and white. The Supreme Court in the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association v. Bruin case said, in plain English, that when the conduct of the individual complies with the plain text of an amendment, that conduct is presumptively constitutional. It also says that the Second Amendment is not a second-class right. And Justice Thomas or Alito, one of the other, commented it's the only right in the Bill of Rights that people have to get permission to exercise. So we sued over the open carry of a loaded weapon. If concealed carry is not a right, and it is not in the Ninth Circuit, we've proven that legally, then open carry must be because we have a right, we know it. The Supreme Court agrees that the right to keep and bear arms extends outside the home to people carrying loaded weapons for self-defense. You have a right. The Supreme Court says so. The Second Amendment says so. So in California, we're suing to find out exactly what that right is. And we applied for a preliminary injunction, which is an emergency measure, so that a judge would enjoin the state from enforcing unconstitutional laws while the case continues. Well, this is Judge Mueller. We never expected her to affirm the preliminary injunction, and we were right. She is a Democratic operative. She works for the state of California. She works for the Democrat Party. That's just the truth. She's buddies with Jerry Brown. Her ranch is next door to Jerry Brown and his wife's ranch. She was a Sacramento City Council member. She gave up her seat on the city council so Daryl Steinberg could get it. And he's now mayor of Sacramento so that he could pull off the downtown stadium scam and all the things that he did. And then Obama threw her a bone by making her a federal judge. And she is now the chief magistrate for California's Eastern District Federal Court. Well, obviously, she's not a fan of the Bill of Rights. She's not a fan of the Constitution. She probably never even read it. She certainly never read the California Constitution. So she did deny our motion for preliminary injunction, and we now have 30 days to appeal that denial, and then also at the same time appeal it to the Ninth Circuit Court. Now, there is an open question that was suggested by someone who's been following the case, and I'm not going to mention names, it doesn't matter, but this guy says that we could also appeal directly to the United States Supreme Court, and he recommends that we do that. I have never heard of anyone taking a case from federal court, skipping the appellate court, and going straight to the Supreme Court. I'm not sure that's possible, and I'm not sure what mechanism would be used if it were possible. And I'm not saying it's not. I'm not an attorney. So if any attorneys out there have any advice about that and they want to call in, please do, because I would like to know the ins and outs of that, and I'm trying to research it on my own and, quite frankly, not having much success. But she denied our motion for preliminary injunction, and she dismissed part of our complaint for lack of jurisdiction. In other words, standing. Now, Judge Mueller is famous for denying standing. So she says that we do have standing to contest Penal Code 25850, the ban on the open carry of a loaded weapon, and 26350, the ban on the open carry of an unloaded weapon. We do have standing for that. Judge admits it, and she calls that as a facial challenge. All right, there are two ways you can challenge a statute. One is facially, and that means just generally speaking, the statute is unconstitutional, and you're challenging it because it is, and because you presumptively suffer harm whenever you're denied a constitutional guarantee. And notice I did not say constitutional rights. We don't have constitutional rights, although this judge has argued that. But when you look at constitutional guarantees, folks, think of it in this way. If you have a constitutional right, that would be a right bestowed upon you by the Constitution. In other words, you are asking government's permission to do something, and if government can guarantee that permission, then government can take that permission away as well. Anytime you have a guarantor, you have someone who can unguarantor, in a sense. But if you have an unalienable right bestowed upon you by your creator as a human right, enumerated in the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, then those rights become negative rights, and those are rights which government has no authority over, neither affirmatively or negatively. They have no say over them. They have no authority over them. Those are rights you enjoy because your Lord and Savior gave them to you, and you are a human being, and you enjoy certain inalienable rights as, well, what do you know? That's stated in California's Constitution, Article 1, Section 1. We were born free and independent being, and as such, we have certain inalienable rights. The Declaration of Independence states that a lot better than the California Constitution does, but we were endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, among those life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments were instituted among men. Now, that's illustrated in the California Constitution, Article 2, Section 1. And that to secure these rights, governments were instituted among men, deriving all of their just power, of course, unjust power they usurped, but their just power is derived from the consent of the government to secure, the governed to secure those rights.
Mark?
And when government fails in that right. end, it is our right and responsibility to abolish or alter that government.
We're going to go off to a break. Now, normally we would go right through it, we're going to come back to what you were just talking about, because this is okay. great stuff. I took some notes here, but since we're going to play this program again, actually, on Christmas Day, we are going to play this program right here again. And when we do that, we'd have to take a break then. So, other than that, if we weren't redoing this, I probably wouldn't even take a break. But
that's fine.
So we're going to take a quick break here. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
I was home, I would have turned that up.
Make the house rumble a little bit.
Would you have turned that up, Liam?
Of course.
Especially the drum part, huh?
Oh, yeah.
We are here with Mark Baird. And, Mark, I want to go back to a couple of things you said just before the break, because I think it's not only important saying it again, because you've really hit something. You hit a couple of, and this is one thing that I love having you on as a guest, and I love doing interviews, because you come up with stuff and it's like, whoa, that's exactly correct. You said we have a constitutional guarantee, not constitutional rights, because if you have a constitutional right, it means someone can take it away. The Constitution guarantees the rights that we have from God. Is that the right definition of all that?
Yes, it is, because if we had a constitutional right, what government gives, government can take away. In other words, if our Constitution outlines our rights, then those rights could be taken away from us at a moment's notice. But if your rights derive from an authority higher than government, then government has no jurisdiction, and that's essentially what the Supreme Court said in the Bruin case. Now, you know, the Supreme Court, like many courts, they speak out of both sides of their mouth at once. So they say that the Second Amendment is not a second-class right. In fact, it's the only right that Justice Alito or Thomas, and I forget which one, I've only read that five times. I need to read it.
I think it is more. Thomas. That's what I've heard. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but he said it's the only right that you need to ask government's permission to exercise, and that's not okay. It's not a sin. Thomas said the Second Amendment is not a second-class right subject to a different judicial review than any of the other rights in the Bill of Rights, and that government has no authority that they can exercise over enumerated rights. However, in the same breath, they said, but now we don't have any problem with licensing concealed carry. All right, concealed carry is the only method of carry that the Supreme Court doesn't have any problem with, provided the regime is shall issue. In other words, if you jump through all the hoops, pay the money, you're not a crook, a wife beater, so on and so forth, then, and you do the training and all that stuff, then the states must issue you a permit. Now, the Supreme Court doesn't have any problem with that. They then went on to single out the state of California and the Ninth Circuit specifically, and the Second Circuit, which covers the state of New York and New Jersey specifically, and they said that those permitting schemes, which are may issue and subject to good cause requirements, are unconstitutional. Now, they didn't single out may issue. They simply singled out show just cause, which California has. They said that may issue states like California, they're probably going to be subject to more judicial review because may issue is not a good idea. However, the part of the permitting process that they did have a specific problem with and declared unconstitutional is the show just cause, which California requires. Well, right after that opinion came out, the liar-in-chief of the Department of Justice in California, Rob Bonta, he issued a memorandum to all issuing agencies. And as you know, sheriffs are subject to the guidance of the Department of Justice in California, Article 5, Section 1 of the California Constitution. So he advised and directed issuing agents that show just cause was now considered unconstitutional and that they can't use that to screen for permits anymore. But there are other ways they can screen for permits. For example, they can require an in-person moral applicability test, a moral turpitude interview, and sheriffs can demand that you visit a psychiatrist or a therapist to get their opinion of your moral character. In other words, you have to prove that you have a moral character sufficient for the sheriff to approve of before he will allow you to obtain a permission slip in order to defend yourself and your family.
Do you think that the sheriffs in rural counties, like your sheriff, even my sheriff, would actually say, it take the time to say, well, you know, I really need to to think about this. I'm going to have you go visit a psychiatrist in Chico, California, for lack of a better place that might have a psychiatrist.
Or why not San Diego?
I understand that. Go ahead.
So, yes, I do agree with that statement. And in addition to that, there's another little court case that kind of slipped through the cracks here that's very telling on this subject. It's a case of it's Miller v. Bonta in San Diego. And South Bay, there's another case, South Bay Rod and Gun Club in San Diego in front of Judge Benitez right now, where the California legislature decided to slam the lid on only Second Amendment challenges in the state of California, because they're tired of you being tired of gun control. You are subject in California. You are not citizens. You are subject to the liars and thieves in Sacramento. And here's how they did that. They passed a law, I believe it was SB 3, I don't remember, but it changed California Code of Civil Procedures 1121.11. And what that did was it applied only to Second Amendment adjudication or cases in the state of California. And what it says in a nutshell is that if you challenge federally or otherwise any Second Amendment or any gun control law, gun control laws only, in the state of California, whether you win or lose, you have to pay the state's attorney fees, which could amount to millions of dollars.
Now, that's already law, or that's something that...
That is law.
Okay, so in other words, even if you... Okay, so the state never picks up the tab.
The state will never pick up the tab.
Go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
And in addition to that, if you can't pay it, your lawyer has to pay it.
Oh boy.
And... if you and your lawyer can't pay it, whatever group supports you, like Firearms Policy Coalition, Second Amendment Foundation, Cal Guns, whatever, they have to pay it. Now, this applies. Now, if you win every single element of your case, you wouldn't have to pay. But, well, here's what happened in our case, just so that we'd have to pay. The judge dismissed one of the complaints in the case. So therefore, even if we win this case, we would still have to pay the state's lawyer fee because the judge did dismiss an element of the case. That means we did not win 100% of our challenges, so therefore we'd have to pay. Well, these two cases in San Diego are interesting because the Miller case is, I believe, the pistol roster case, where when you add one pistol to the safe
CCW,
gun...
Right.
The safe gun, you have to take three off the roster.
Right.
Well, that had this 1121.11 provision in the case. Well, the state's attorney general, in their opposition to that case, said, "Oh no, we weren't planning on applying that law to this case. So, therefore." Don't grant their preliminary injunction because we weren't going to make them pay the fees in this case. We might make people pay the fees in the future, but right now we're not enforcing that law. Okay, so the judge tossed that logic immediately and said, well, you might not be planning on enforcing the law right now, number one, but number two, you cannot say whether county attorneys would enforce the law, and you certainly can't say whether your successor in that job would enforce the law. And in addition to that, we are going to write a prep letter to the judge on that case, and that's just a letter informing him of facts that may not be in evidence because they are planning on enforcing it in our case, and our case is older than that case. So they're not only lying about the enforcement of not planning on enforcing the law, but they just specifically asked the judge to make us pay their fees in this case. So we're going to write Judge Benitez and tell him that Rob Bonta is a liar. And, gee, I'm sure he doesn't know that already, but he needs to hear it in print. And I would suspect that any one of these gun orgs, you people need to wake up in California Rifle and Pistol Association, Cal Guns, all of them. You need to wake up because something ain't going right in this state. And it is injustice and it's tyranny. Well, the long and short of this is that we're going to help them win that case, and hopefully we can find some allies out of the deal to help pay for this case because we're running out of money again. But nevertheless, the judge then denied our standing on the as-applied challenge. So you have facial challenge, which means generally the law is unconstitutional. Then you have an as-applied challenge, which means how does the law apply to you? And can you, do you have standing because the law is causing you as the individual immediate harm? Well, number one, denial of a constitutional guarantee is irreparable harm. And there's case law coming out the wazoo over that one. Well, she overlooked that intentionally. She also said that 25850 has some notable exceptions where if you're going hunting, you can carry a gun. If you're, you know, if you're on your way from a hunting trip, you can have an unloaded firearm in your car. And if you're this, you know, but these are not exceptions to 25850. 25850 bans the open carry of a loaded weapon in public. That's anywhere outside your door. Well, the Supreme Court said you have the absolute right to carry a weapon outside your door. That's what the Second Amendment is. Now, she denied the as-applied challenge because the defendants could ask their sheriff for an open carry permit and that they allege that the sheriff may not give it to them. Well, she lied. The judge lied. And as a former cop, I want to tell everybody something. You think that perjury is a real thing? Guess again. You think that in court people have to be honest and tell the truth? Well, let me tell you, the biggest liar in the courtroom is usually the judge. And the second biggest liar is usually the state. And I'm saying that as a former peace officer. So if you think you can be guaranteed honest justice in court, and also the Moonlight case, a federal judge made the comment that the government should be interested in finding justice, not in just winning the case. But the state ignores that. They ignore the truth. They ignore the law. They ignore the Constitution. They lie whenever they want to. And they are liars. And that's the fight we're in, folks, in California.
You know, and you made a great point on that, because locally we know that DA offices, their whole intention is winning the case. You know, it makes no difference.
Justice.
It's nothing about justice or the truth, even. It's if they win the case. Go ahead.
There is no justice in court. It's who wins. It's an adversary situation, and the only outcome is who wins, whether that's justice or not, is something for historians to comment on. So she has denied the as-applied challenge because she claims that since we have the ability to ask a sheriff for permission to openly carry a loaded weapon, even though... and she says, and the defendants allege that their sheriff probably wouldn't give it to them. Well, that makes the judge a liar 10 times over because she knows the sheriff didn't give it to us because she has evidence of emails and testimony that I did ask my sheriff and that Richard Gallardo did ask his sheriff, and the sheriff said no. And further, my sheriff said, you know, maybe you should ask the Board of Supervisors to pass an ordinance. Well, gee, let me think. When was the last time an ordinance abrogated penal code? Oh, I think it's never. So the judge then went on to say, since I could ask the sheriff and I might get permission, even though no sheriff has ever issued an open carry permit, even though my sheriff refused to issue an open carry permit, even though his successor refused to answer the question as to whether he'd issue an open carry permit or not, and when you refuse to answer a question, isn't the answer kind of no? I mean, she has denied the as-applied challenge, and her logic is, I have no standing to argue for people who live in counties that have more than 200,000 people, because in my county, I may be issued permission to openly carry a loaded weapon. Well, in counties with more than 200,000 people, that's not even an option, because the law specifically excludes those counties. And in the Bruin case, part of the New York Attorney General's argument was, we don't want people to carry weapons in big population centers. We only want people to be allowed to carry weapons in sparsely populated areas. And the Supreme Court that argument didn't fly for 1 second. Because Justice Alito said, well, I think you are more likely to need a gun on the subway than you are taking a hike in the woods.
That's the truth.
So this judge is conflating Bruin. She's lying about the circumstances of the case. The AG is lying about the circumstances of the case. And one thing I want to point out, and people who were there heard this, and I know you guys were, you were there, so you heard this, but the state wasn't, they weren't horrified about the gun itself. They never said, oh, no, guns are dangerous. They never said any of that. What they said was that Richard and I, in our case, what our goal was is to be able to carry a gun without state permission. That's what they were horrified about. They just want to upset California's carefully crafted licensing scheme. They just want people to be able to carry a gun without a license. That's what they were upset about. They were upset that they wouldn't have control, not that you'd have the gun.
They're concerned about the funding portion of it. They want to make sure they get their money.
Yeah, that was amazing.
They're concerned about the control.
And the control, absolutely.
Yeah, that was amazing during that court case when that happened. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
I know.
Sitting in there, and Mark's absolutely right. I mean, well, it's about the licensing process. What? The thing is that, again, kudos to...
Well, even here she says that the penal code section gives local authorities the power to issue licenses.
Yeah.
What does power mean? And you know, if you think to yourself and you think about a definition of a word, well, what does the word power mean? That means you might do it and you might not. And you have the authority over people who are subject that power. Well, the Second Amendment doesn't give the government power over you. In fact, it says a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, let's ask about what, in your mind, does that phrase, a free state, mean? Does that mean that the state of California is a free state? Does that mean the state of Wisconsin is a free state? Does that mean the United States is a free state? No. It means a free state. It means you're in a state of freedom. You yourself enjoy a general freedom associated with your individual person. And the Supreme Court also agreed that the right to keep and bear arms is an individual right that applies to the individual, that attaches to the individual, so that he may exist in a bodily and spiritual state of freedom. That you're not guaranteeing the freedom of your state, you're guaranteeing your state of freedom.
Okay, Mark, with that, when you're saying that the power, the judge was saying the power goes to the local agency, what did she earmark or state which agency that was to go to?
Well, it is the power granted
to
sheriffs and police chiefs
by
the state of California, and here's the catch.
Okay, well, wait, before you go there, if she's granting the power to the sheriff's department of each county, then the Board of Supervisors, who is the executive and legislative body of said counties, should bring the sheriff forward and in their Board of Supervisors meeting and ask them directly to do exactly that, or give him direction to do exactly that. And his funding is going to be contingent upon him doing it.
Well, here's one thing that the sheriff pointed out to me that I knew before I went in there, but... A board of supervisors cannot direct an elected official as to how to conduct their elected authority.
They can control his funds.
They can control his money.
There you have the crux of the matter. Now, can you imagine in your wildest dreams that the board of supervisors would make the sheriff's budget zero because he didn't hand out open carry permits?
Sure.
They've done it.
Why not?
They've done other things. I mean, look at we talked about Gil Gilbertson. I mean, they shut off his funds, and he was trying to do the right thing.
Yes, but he was in a much smaller county.
Shouldn't matter the size of the county.
But Josephine's is
big.
Oh,
I agree with you. I mean, freedom shouldn't be contingent on a population number, but I'll bet you a buck in a county as large as Siskiyou County or Shasta, or Siskiyou County only has 40,000, but Shasta County is closer to 200,000. You can be hopeful and you can ask them, but the point is, I don't want permission. I'm not seeking permission.
Right.
I'm seeking the unfettered
right.
And so our complaint, when we narrowed our complaint in the Second Amendment, we don't even talk about the permitting issue. In fact, the judge is talking about things that aren't in evidence.
Right.
In other words, we don't care what they do with their permits. They have no sheriff has ever issued an open carry permit in the history of that scheme since they took the guns away from black people and the rest of us at the same time because they were afraid black people would have access to guns. That's why they stripped us of our rights. And since then, no sheriff has ever issued an open carry permit in any of the 58 counties. And in fact, we argued, there is no application for an open carry permit. And by penal code, sheriffs are only allowed to use applications that are produced by Department of Justice. And that's why we sued Rob Bonta. And the judge went on to say, well, if it's an as-applied challenge, you sued the wrong guy. You should have sued the sheriff. Well, once again, she knows the facts and evidence. The facts and evidence point out that the penal code specifically instructs a sheriff from his direct supervisor, which is the attorney general, that he will not issue any permit except on applications generated by Department of Justice. And those applications need to be returned to Department of Justice within a very narrow window with the money, of course. And so how can you issue an application when no application, or how can you approve an application when no such application exists?
A clarification.
And to have that evidence,
okay.
I went to 58 Sheriff's Department websites.
Right.
I have reviewed all 58. There is no application for an open carry permit in any of the 58 counties in California. So she lied about that. And she, but the long and short of it is she denied the as-applied challenge, which we will appeal. And then she went on to talk about Young versus Hawaii and how Young versus Hawaii was, oh, boy, that was such an important case and blah, 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 blah. And then at the very end she said, but that was vacated by the Supreme Court because the Ninth Circuit in Young versus Hawaii said there is no right to carry a weapon outside your door. There is the Second Amendment does not guarantee any right to carry a weapon outside your door. Now, when the Supreme Court vacated Young, here's what happened. Peruta v. San Diego became the controlling law because that has never been vacated. Peruta v. San Diego says concealed carry is not a right, but if there is a right, and here's the language, if there is a right to carry a weapon in the state of California or in the Ninth Circuit, it must be open carry.
Okay, to clarify. Because we only got a couple of minutes left. Basically, your case is about that the Second Amendment is the Second Amendment. It is a guaranteed right and a God-given right to protect ourselves and our families, et cetera. And their argument is, well, you know, they're talking about the permitting process. And what you're saying is that the permitting process, if you guys want to issue permits, knock yourself out. Charge whatever you want on the permit. I just really don't need one. And I don't care if somebody's that dumb to say, well, I have the God-given right and the constitutional guarantee to carry a pistol on my hip in open carry and to protect myself and my family, et cetera. Then you can, if you're dumb enough to want to pay for a permit, knock yourself out, charge whatever you guys want. So it's almost like apples and oranges. Is that sort of the deal?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it, because a permit is not a right, it's
right.
A permission, and the root of the word permit implies permission.
Right.
So if you know, a lot of people argue, well, concealed carry is tactically superior. I don't want to get into that argument.
Yeah.
I don't care. If you want a permit, you know how to go get one and you know how to ask one. I want to exercise my God-given right,
right.
To defend myself and
Absolutely.
My family, period. That's what we're after. And we're trying to succeed in that endeavor to restore Second Amendment, God-given Second Amendment guarantees to the state of California, and we need your help. We're out of money.
So, Wynn, do you want to give that address or where you can send some help for Mark?
Yeah, if people want to send contributions to help Mark with this case, which we should all do, you can make it out to PECAN, P-E-C-A-N. Make the check out to PECAN, P-E-C-A-N. And in the memo portion of the check, write 2A. Or Second Amendment, but 2A. And then you can mail it to 44140 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B like boy, Redding, California, 96003.
And so with that, I hear the music. Mark, thank you very much. And this program also will be replayed on Christmas Day. So, Mark, Mary.
God bless you all. God bless you all, and remember, Jesus Christ is the reason for Christmas.
Absolutely correct.
Amen, brother.
Thank you, Mark. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
You have no clue, and still you're telling us what to do.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.